In the Bible, there are often headings above sections that try and tell you like what's coming next. They kind of give mini titles throughout Scripture. And sometimes I find them very helpful, and sometimes I don't find them helpful. But I wonder, I'm going to summarize for you Joseph's story. It's a wide, sweeping story. It's the stuff of reality television. And I want to see if you can guess the title that I would give Joseph's story in the Bible if I got, you know, titling rights. So Joseph is daddy's favorite of the 11 children of Jacob, and he even gets a fancy coat so that everyone is aware of his favorite status. That's not fair, right? His brothers throw him into a pit and leave him for dead and put animal blood on his fancy coat and then lie to their dad saying he was probably killed by a wild animal. That's not fair. Joseph is taken out of the pit and sold into slavery into Egypt. That's not fair. He's an outsider. He's a Hebrew among Egyptians, and he rises to power under his enslavement in Potiphar's house. Well, that's not fair. It's not fair that this story further perpetuates that women lie about sexual assault. Joseph is then jailed by these false accusations, which is not fair, and then given power and authority even in jail, also not fair. So can you guess my heading? It's not fair. That would be my, it would be over the top, all caps, period, it's period, not period, fair, period, yes. Well, just take a minute and look around this room and realize how many stories there are in our lives of all the ways that you have not gotten what you've asked for, you've gotten what is not wanted, in all the ways that you are suffering or have been cheated or lied to, in all the ways that your life isn't where you thought it would be, where you wanted it to be. Think of your own story and the stories you don't know about the people you're sitting next to, about the unfairness in each of our lives. And then, if you want to lay awake at night with me sometime, I will start to think about the children at the border is in my mind and heart a lot. And it seems criminal to be able to say that one sentence, and we all know what I'm talking about, right? Just imagine the damage that's been done in these hearts and lives and minds of not only children, but entire families for generations, how it will shape them. What keeps you up at night? What injustice keeps you from shutting your eyes? Is it to a friend? Is it your own? Is it a stranger? Is it someone you think about across the world that gets your head to spin? See, because as Christians, we're called, the reason we exist is because we got to worry about other people, right? We have to be invested in their problems. And boy, you can come up with a list of dire situations really quickly, right? But what if? What if we looked at this story in a new way? What if we reframed it? What if instead of my title of It's Not Fair was renamed from It's Not Fair to This Happened, Where Can God Go From Here? This happened, Where Can God Go From Here? Write that down. Take out your river source right now, that blue piece of paper, and I want you to just write about, we get retitling. We get retitling efforts and authority today. Write that down at the top. Where can God go from here? Where can God go from here? And then when you go home today, I want you to take soap or lipstick and I want you to write it on your bathroom mirror. Where can God go from here? And then I want you to write it backwards across your forehead so that when you look in the mirror, you get what I mean? Like, put it on the visor in your vehicle. Frame it, you know, buy a dollar store frame. Put it on your desk at work. Where can God go from here? Turn. What if you reframed your life with where can God go from here? What would change? How would things look in your life? Because you got to acknowledge that this, right? This happened. You got to look at that full in the face and say, yeah, this isn't fair. But does it get to define you? Does it get to then lay out the road for you to say, well, because it's not fair, then it's this way? Because to God, there are no spiritual dead ends in your life. To God, there continue to be possibilities, ones that we cannot even imagine, one that we can't dream up on our own, but that God can see a way forward. It doesn't excuse the injustice, right? It doesn't invalidate your experience. Instead, it says God is with you in this, right? In this reality, and God will walk with you and is with you, showing you a new way. You see, what happened with Joseph is that Joseph ends up saving his brothers, the ones who threw him in the pit and left him for dead. Spoiler alert, sorry. He ends up saving them, and he ends up saving countless people. Because he changes the way their system operates in sharing food, because he knows a famine is coming. And so he gives his brothers food as well as other people food that he has saved. So he changes a whole system. And in one of my favorite parts of Scripture, they're reconciled as brothers at the end. There is forgiveness, and it's hard won. There's even weeping. Joseph weeps again and again in Scripture. They even talks about him having to leave the room to compose himself as he's trying to reconcile with his brothers. You see, God could see possibility with what had happened to Joseph. God could see a new way forward where he couldn't. So how will you this week live into that new reality? How will this reframe help you step into Monday, and then Tuesday, and then Wednesday? I can guarantee you this, that God's way for you won't happen according to your watch. I can almost guarantee that. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry, right? Yeah. But according to God's timing, God will show you a way. God will be faithful and be with you, and will use you in ways that you would never imagine for yourself, because God is just that creative. Now, isn't that the best news you've just ever heard? And we say together, thanks be to God. Amen.